Okay, we're going to begin here at the bottom of Yud-Chalim Ad-Bet. We're continuing with the drasha on the Pasuk that we started yesterday from Tehillim, which is Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan, Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo Halach Ve'atzat Rishayim. Right, so praiseworthy is a person didn't go with the advice or the counsel of the those that are evil. Zeh Avram Avinu. This refers to Avram Avinu, Shlo Halach Ve'atzat Anshei Dor HaPelaga. That he didn't go after those that built the Migdal Bavel. Shirishayim are you? Because they were Rishayim. Shnemer Hava Nivla Lanu Yir. Right? They're going to build themselves, right? A city, a Migdal that reaches the Shemaim. So they, Avram Avinu was alive in the time of Peleg when it happened, when Peleg, the end of Peleg's life when it happens. And Avram Avinu does not join in with them. Uvederach HaTeim Lo Amad. So what does that mean? Derech HaTeim, if we're saying it's referring to Avram Avinu, who are the Derech HaTeim Lamad? Shlo Amad, Be'amidat Stom, She'chataim Ayu. Right, that he did not participate, he did not join in, but those are the peoples of Stom. Shnemer Manshei Stom, Ra'im V'chataim, La'Hashem Me'od. So he didn't join them. Uvu Moshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. Shlo Yashav Moshav Anshei Plishtim. He did not sit, or he did not join the people of the Plishtim, because Avram Avinu is no lives there. It says Vayar Avram Beretz Plishtim Yamim Rabim. Right, so he lives there. So how do we know that they were late Zanim? Because in the time of Shimshon, it says Vahi Ktov Libam. Right, when they were at a Mishten, the Simcha, and they were drinking, and they say Vayomru Kiru the Shimshon Bisachek Lonu. Call Shimshon for us, so that he can come and perform and entertain us over here. So that's it. Here the Gemara is darshaning the Pasuk to refer to Avram Avinu, that the challenges or the big waves in his lifetime, one of Migdal Bavel, and then of Stom, and then of the Plishtim, that he doesn't get involved, that he keeps himself separate, and therefore he is praiseworthy. Now, the Gemara continues to darshan the Pasukim. It says, Ashrei Ish Yareyat Hashem. So now, what does it mean? Ashrei Ish Yareyat Hashem. Praiseworthy is the person who fears Hashem. Ashrei Ish, Flo Ashrei Isha. Meaning that, why is it an Ish and not an Isha? Meaning, why is it particular? Why would you only praise an Ish and not an Isha? Now, it's true, the Gemara didn't ask that question. Oh, so very good. How come he didn't ask over here, Ashrei Aisha? Tosfos says right away, there's a difference between, right, Ha Ish, right, which is before the Hey Dao, which means this man and not someone else. Versus Ashrei Ish, which is without the hey, right, in front of it, the idiyah, then it's Ish below Isha. That's the Gemara's question that differentiates between the two. View that it's a, right, it's a particular individual. Exactly. So that's Tosfos differentiates why the Gemara said here and not before. So Amrabi Amram Amarav, Ashrei Mish Osid Shuva Kishu Ish. So Nyan Yoma, praiseworthy is a person who does tshuva when he's still a man. What does that mean, still a man? So Rashi says, Mimahir Lakir Baro Kodim Yumez Kena, while he's still young, right, he recognizes a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and when he's an Ish, Kegibor. So it's like the Rambam, the Rambam in Chilko Tshuva, who says that a person who wants to do real tshuva has to be find themselves in the same exact position, with the same Yetzer, the same temptation, and that they're able to overcome it. And that's the idea, that you would do tshuva when you're still an Ish, when you still have that same Yetzer, when the Taiva is still there, that you're able to overcome it and do tshuva at that point. Tshuva and Levi Amar Ashrei Mishim Mitgaber Al Yitzro Ki Ish. That one who is able to overcome his Yetzer at the time that he's an Ish, a similar idea. Here it might be preventative, meaning that he's able to prevent himself from getting to Averot when he's still an Ish, when he still has the Tavot, he's able to prevent himself from following in those Tavot. But the same idea, that a person does it when they are still an Ish, when they are Gibor, when they are young. B'mitzvotav chafetz ma'od, which is a continuation of the Pasuk, and not only is it Yarei Hashem, but mitzvotav chafetz ma'od. I'm Rav Lazar, b'mitzvotav, velo b'schar mitzvotav. What does it mean that he desires? He desires the mitzvot, but not the reward of the mitzvot. V'hanu ditnan, this is from the Mishnah Navot. Who are you omer? Al teyu kabadim hamisham shim et harav, al menat kabel pras. Should not be worshipping a Kodesh Baruch Hu with the intention of getting the reward. Elayu, Kavadim, Amishamshim et Arab, Shalo Almanat Kabel Pras. They should be worshipping a Kodesh Baruch Hu, not with the intention of getting reward, which Rashi comments over here. What does it mean without the intention of getting reward? Afilu ain't sofi the Kabel Schar. Even in the end, I'm going to get no reward for the mitzvot. Ohev ani et bori. I love my Creator so much, v'chafetz v'mitzvotav, right? And I desire to do His word and His command. And that a person feels such a strong connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wants to do the mitzvot because of his love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not because of the schar mitzvot, but probably also, I would say, for the fact that the mitzvot themselves have some inherent value. They're not just looking at what's the reward of the mitzvot, but doing the mitzvot themselves has an inherent value, both from the perspective of your love directed towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how you feel about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and secondly, from the fact that the mitzvot, Hashem gave us the mitzvot l'tov lanu, right, in order to be good for us. So therefore, we believe that when we're doing the mitzvot, they are good for us, not just that there's some reward that is shomer in the end. Now, it says, the Bar quotes this as if this is a continuation of the Pasuk. Ki im b'torat Hashem chepzo, which is not from the Pasuk. We're recording a Pasuk from Kufyud Bet. This is back from Perek Aleph. Right, so the Gemara is quoting it as if it's like a continuum, but it's not an continuation of the pasuk before. It's from what we before in Perek Aleph that we were darshaning. So it says here, "Ki im b'torat Hashem chepzo." Because I'm Rabbi, ein adam lomed Torah el b'makom shilibo chafetz. That's what it's Torah Hashem chepzo. When it's his chafetz, then it's Torah Hashem. He can be able to grab it. Person only learns where he's happy. Shenemar, right? Because now it says, "Ki im b'torat Hashem chepzo." That with the Torah Hashem chepzo, right? Levi v'Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yatvei kamei d'Rabbi. So you have Levi and Rabbi Shimon, who's the son of Rabbi, learning before in Rabbi himself. The Kapaske Sidra, they finished the Sidra, they finished Chamishay Chumshay Torah. Salik Sifra, they finished some other Sefer in Nach. Right then, Levi Amar Light to Lan Mishle. I want to learn Mishle now. Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Amar Light to Lan Tehilim. Let teach us Tehilim. Right? I want to learn Tehilim. Kafia the Levi, Vaiti Tehilim. They pushed Levi and he ended up learning Tehilim with his, you know, Rav Shimon. Obviously, Rav Shimon Rebbe had the inside track. It was his son. So they pushed and he ended up learning, or he pushed him and he convinced him that he would learn Tehilim instead of Mishle. Kimaltu Hacha, so they're only in the first parak. They got to this pasuk. Kim b'torat Hashem chepzo, Parish Rebbe v'amar. Rebbe said, explained, Ein adam lomei Torah b'makom shlibo chafetz. The president learns Torah where he wants to be. I mean, when he is happy with what they're learning. Amar Levi, Rebbe, Natata Levi Rishud, Lamot. He says, you just gave me permission to leave. He said, because Levi said, I wanted to learn Mishle, and you pushed me to learn Tehilim, and now you're teaching me. But Libo Chafetz, this is not Mishle Libo Chafetz. So he says, you just gave me permission to leave or to walk out at this point, because I'm now learning something that I didn't really want to learn. So Amar Rav Dimi Bar Chama, Kol Sik B'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osoh Lo Chafetzav. That whoever learns Torah, Hashem takes care of his parnosa, of his chafetzim. Shenemar, Ki Im B'Torah Hashem. So now you have to put comma, if the part, the parsing the pasuk there, Ki Im B'Torah Hashem. Then Chepzo, whatever his chafetz is, taken care of. So Amar Rava, the Olam Yomod Adam Torah B'Makom Shalibo Chafetz. For should always learn Torah in a place where he's happy, where he's enjoying the Torah. Shenemar. Again, the similar idea. So Rava is quoting the similar idea that the Rebbe quoted above. Amar Rava, b'tchila nikreit al shemo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, u'b'sof nikreit al shemo. In the beginning, Torah is called in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the end, it ends up being his Torah. So here we're continuing to darshan Perek Aleph in the Tehillim. It says, shenemar b'torat Hashem chepzo. So the beginning, it's called Torah Hashem. That when he desires to learn the Torah Hashem. Then afterwards, it says, u'v'torah to yegeh. Yomam v'layla, but the Torah to over here, the possessive Torah to is the person who's learning. The person who's learning is his Torah, yegeh yomam v'layla. He will toil in it day and night. This is the source, by the way, the Gemara in Kiddushin, for the fact that Chochom Shemachal al Kvodo is able to be mochel. So even though generally when you have something that doesn't belong to you, for instance, the melech who has a kavod cannot be mochel in the kavod because his kavod is not inherently from himself. It's something that belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. It's a position, it's a stature that he's unable to be mochel on. So you would think the same thing with Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham's kavod comes from the Torah, which doesn't belong to him. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what right does he have to be mochel al the kvodo, al kvod HaTorah? This is the answer. Because in the beginning it's Torah Hashem Chepzo. In the end it's Ubetorah To Yegeh Yomam V'Layla. It means that it belongs to the Talmud Chacham, and therefore he has a right to be mochel al kvodo. He has the ability to be mochel al kvod because it's his Torah at that point in time. V'amar Rava, Lolam Yomad Adam Torah V'achar Kach Yegeh. First you got to do B'kiyut, and afterwards you got to do Iyun Shenamar, because it says first. All right, but we're going to get the opposite case in a second. Shnemar, b'Torat Hashem. So first it says, Torat Hashem. V'adar, u'b'Torato yegeh. I mean, first you work in the Torat Hashem, meaning that you gather the Torat Hashem, you need to understand it. You need to gather together all the information. And then, yegeh. Then you'll toil in it. Then you'll deal with it. It's a nice Rashi just to look. Yomod Adami Rabbo. Actually, Girsata Talmud, Perusho Shkurado Befiv. First, learn the, we're talking about Torah Shebaal Peh now, right? When they learned it by heart. Learn it with your Rebbe until you know it, until you have the material in your hands. Then, V'achar Kach Yegeh. What does that mean? Ya'ain B'Talmudo. You'll look into, you'll delve into what you've learned. L'dmut Milta L'Milta. To say, ask from here to here, to compare items. L'akshot U'Litareit. To ask questions and to answer. U'Rir Shonalo Yasekein. In the beginning, don't do this. Don't jump right into Iyun. Shema Yivatel. First of all, maybe you'll get stuck in your Iyun. V'arab lo yimetzelo kol shah. And you won't always have a Rebbe to teach you all the material. You won't get the scope or quantity of material that you need. Vod. Once you know a lot, you can answer the questions. You can answer them. When you haven't learned a lot, then you ask the questions, but you don't have the material or the ability to answer the questions. You can't make chakirot and all sorts of building binyanim like this when you don't have all the scope of material in your hands. So the suggestion is that you should have a breadth of Torah knowledge before you start to do Iyun, before you start to be Maksheh. So again, that would be somewhat of a push towards the Fiyomi, to have a skira, to have a broader perspective on Torah before you do Iyun. Now that would be from two perspectives. You have to look at this. One is that the assumption is that you would eventually get to Iyun after you do the Fiyomi, or as you're doing Yom Fiyomi, you also have some sort of Iyun involved with it. And number two is that you have to know that the Daf Yomi is actually getting you the qualitatively also, not that just the coming to ground. So now, Amar Rav Olam Ligris Inish VeAfagav DeMishkach. Right, so a person should always learn Torah, even though he might not know it so well, might forget it. VeAfagav DeLo Yodo MaKamar, and he doesn't even know what he's saying. Now Rashi, when he says DeLo Yodo MaKamar, Rashi reads it about Shein Rabbo Yodei LeFresh Lo Klum. Can't explain anything to him. Right? I don't know if that's the way Rashi reads it. I don't think you have to read it that way. You could have read it that you don't understand it. I mean, there's an inherent value of reading the Torah, the Gemara, of just the knowledge. Now, this is something you see today more and more, which is the Zilberman methods and methodologies that teach the kids just the girsa itself, that they don't necessarily understand or the depth or understand what they're really reading. They just know it. Afterwards, when they get older, they learn more about that which they have, but at least they have the girsa de yanoka, which is true in general, that anybody you speak to who learned something when they were young, and girsa de yanoka, those are the things that you do not forget. So here, the Arov is promoting there's a value, an inherent value in the Torah itself. Now, the other possibility, which Rashi seems to be leaning towards or suggesting, is that you should learn the quantitative amount which you need, just the Torah itself. You should learn from even if your Rebbe can't explain it to you. If he has the Torah Shebaal Peh, even though he can't explain it, just get the Torah Shebaal Peh. You'll find the explanation from someone else, you'll be able to figure that out later, but at least get the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now all of this, of course, is said in a time when Torah Shebaal Peh is learned Baal Peh. Right. So that's why these are very important. Shenemar, and his proof comes from the Posuk in Tehillim, which is Garsan of Shi, my soul was shattered, Lita'ava, that I was for yearning for you. And now the Posuk ends, El Mishpatecha B'chol Eit. Garsan of Shi, Lita'ava, Mishpatecha B'chol Eit, or El Mishpatecha B'chol Eit, that I'm shattering, I'm running after you. That here it's talking about the desire. My nefesh is shattered for the yearning over your mishpatim. But he's reading a play on the words of garsa, here meaning girsa, ektiv. So he says, garsa ktiv, velo ktiv tachana. Tachana is a fine grinding, and girsa is a coarse type of grinding. And so when you grind something down in a coarse way, there's still big lumps in it, there's still big pieces in it. So he calls that the girsa, which means learning the quantitative, the bikyut side of it. And then tachana means to grind it well and to get it to refine into a fine flour. That's the iyun afterwards. So he's saying it's garsa nafshi l'tava el mishpatecha b'cholet. That's what you got to do first. The garsa nafshi is the important part, to get the girsa down, to get the coarse grinding, just to know the material. There's a value in knowing the material, even though you're not going to get the eon or get the full picture. So now, Rav Ramiktiv, Rav says, well, there's a steer on the Pasuk. It's Pasuk in Mishlei. Over there it says, Al Gapei. Now, in both instances over here, it's speaking about a woman who is sitting, and it says there, at one point it says agape karat, I think ha'ir, is the end of the pasuk. So there, it's talking about at the heights of the city. So at one point it says agape, and then later on in the same parak it says akisei karat ha'ir, that she's sitting on a chair at the heights of the city. So both times it's speaking about a woman who's sitting at the heights of the city, outside her door, at the heights of the city. One time it uses the term gape, and one time it uses the word kisei. So why? B'tchila agape, ulusofo al kisei. So that's a description of a Talmud Chacham. We're talking about Torah here, Torah Mishtai, that in the first part, it's gape, meaning that they are bal kanafayim. They should fly around. They should move around. That they are the ones who are gathering the Torah. They're in the process, the Talmidim, of gathering Torah, bringing in Torah, that they don't have a place, a kavua place. But in the end, then it says kisei, that they'll have a makom kavod, a fixed place, like the pasuk by Yosef, it says, raka kisei agdel mimeka. Or, Rashi gives one other possibility, is b'tchila agape. Then in the beginning, a person will be b'gapo yavo, b'gapo yetze, he'll be alone. Uluso b'kisei means he's sitting in a chair and he has talmidim around him. So one of those two. Either in the beginning you have to be moving around, going around to collect your Torah, and then you'll be the one giving the shir, and the elders will come to you. You'll have a fixed place, you have a makom kabod. Or the possibility is in the beginning you'll be alone because you'll be learning the Torah, and in the end you'll be in a kisei, you'll have talmidim around, so you'll have those that are with you. But either way, it talks about you have to invest in the beginning in order to have at the kisei in the end. Now, Tiv, it says in Mishle, it's actually the parak beforehand, it says, Birosh Meromim, Uchtiv Alei Darach. It's actually the same pasuk. It's just, the pasuk goes, Birosh Meromim Alei Darach. So here, when it says Birosh Meromim, it says that he's at the top of the heights, and then it says Alei Darach, he's along the way. So which is it? Is he at the top of the heights, or is he on the way? B'tchila Birosh Meromim, in the beginning he's at the top of the heights, Uvasof Alei Darach, and then he's on his way. What's the difference? So Rashi says in the beginning, Birosh Meromim means that he's B'machbuot, Mistalech B'machbuot. He is quiet and hiding. He is in a silent place. And the end, Alei Derech, means Moreh Ra'al in Kol. That he's on his way. People all see him. He is a person who can give Ora, give Psach Halacha. So a person has to be, in the beginning, they all have to go and hide and learn. Again, the idea of investing in the learning of Torah. So in the end, there is a payback. The payback is that one can then be a Moreh Ra'al. Ulo Romiktiv says in the Perek, it's Perkei in the Mishlei, it says, Shtei Maim Miborecha, should drink water from your cistern, Uchtiv, and then it says, V'nozlim Mitoch Be'erecha, right, and those that are flowing out, Mitoch Be'erecha, here Be'er means from a well, but a live well. So, B'tchila, Shtei Miborecha, in the beginning, drink from your cistern, Uvisov, and then in the end, Venozlim mitoch beirecha. And in the end, then the maim chaim she'in poskim. So that, in the beginning, gather together the waters, drink the waters that are present and that are there. And meaning that you should gather together the Torah, should learn the Torah that's present and use that up. And then, Venozlim mitoch is that you become a mayan, like the mayan amitgaber that is described about Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Thank you, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So Mayan Mitgaber, that he's able to produce, then you'll be able to produce Torah, create Torah, be creative, be Mechadesh in Torah. So again, the idea of gathering Torah first, and then be Mechadesh later. So now all of these are descriptions of the focus on the investment, the gathering of Torah. Again, very focused on Torah should be Alpeh when it's should be Alpeh. The idea that Girsa comes first, that Bikyut comes first, and then only afterward there's Iyun, there's Hora'ah, there's the more extensive person and Talmud Chacham after they've gathered. There has to be a time of investment and gathering before there's a productive stage of the Iyun.
Someone pointed out that they,
That was the end of yesterday's daf, which says that don't, do you think you're not going to all these places, you can just go and sleep? Torah says, no, but Torah, you have to actually learn Torah.
enough.
Right. Exactly. There's not enough in Sumerah. You have to do Asay Tov. But it's also interesting, yesterday's daf, which is Ebn Sumerah Machlokes Rishonim, whether the problem of Moshav Leitzim is Bittul Torah, or is Moshav Leitzim a problem of by itself? There's an inherent problem in Moshav Leitzim. It has problems by itself in addition to the Bittul Torah that's associated with it. But yeah, there is a Bittul Torah, and it is. There's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz in Sichud Musar, writes a number of memorot. He has three or four of them, which is Atov Ve'ara. And he says there that just because a person has Asay Tov doesn't mean he's Mevayer et Hara. The two are independent. They two can coexist within an individual. A person can be learning Torah and yet still be doing things that are wrong, still going to the Titerot and the Kirkasiot. And that person has to work on both paths at the same time. A person has to be Mevayer et Hara and also Asay Tov or Asay Tov and be Mevayer et Hara. It's not a pol yotze, it's not automatic. Just because a person has Asay Tov doesn't mean that he will be Mevayer et Hara, and just because he's Mevayer et Hara doesn't mean he'll be Asay Tov. I mean that there are independent paths that a person has to pursue simultaneously, because humans, as complex people that we are, we can have the two coexist within us, and one does not preclude the other, and therefore you must take both paths and must work on both paths together. So now we did the promotion of Dafyomi, promotion of Bikiyut. Now here comes the slight knock towards it, which is Hon Mehevel Imatz Vekovetz Ayad Yerbe. So wealth, the true translation of the pasuk, which is that wealth that is gained by vanity, imat, will be reduced. Whereas kovetz al yad, that is gathered by hand, made done by hard labor, yarbeh, will be increased. Now here the Gemara is going to say, im osei adam torato chavilot chavilot, person who makes his Torah piles and piles, and he just keeps piling it up, keeps learning more and more and more, mitma'at, mitma'it, it goes down, he gains nothing. I mean, a person is after the quantitative amount, it ends up losing everything. In kovetz al yad, yarbeh, if he does it piece by piece, in small pieces, then yarbeh, then he will increase it. So over here, this is the knock on the dafyomi, which is this problem of the garis harbe, someone who learns a tremendous amount, enu yachol agzorla pamim rabot, he can't do enough chazara on it because he just keeps going, that quantitatively. So it's great that he's covering a lot of ground, but in the end he has nothing left because he forgets everything, because he's not able to do enough chazara, he's not able to stay on top of it. Now, on the other hand, if he does it piece by piece, little pieces, he's able to keep it. Now, for sure, this is talking about when they're learning Torah Shebaal Peh. Learning Torah Shebaal Peh, if you review it a number of times, go over and over and over again, if you know it Baal Peh, then you can move on to the next thing. If you try to take too much at once and learn it by heart, it never works. Then you don't get it all. So that's obviously what the Gemara is talking about, but it has the same effect or the same criticism that is laid on the Dafyomi, which is that the Dafyomi covers too much ground, there's not enough Chazara, and therefore, yeah, people cover a lot of ground, but in the end, what do they take away? Are they taking something out of the Daf because they're moving too fast and covering too much ground? So that's an important part. A person we should remind ourselves in the Dafyomi to take something out of each Daf, that we should try to take something. That's why we do a little Iyun. We try to take, remember, a little piece of each Daf should come with us so that we don't just run through it. So Amar Rava, that's what Shaul says. Yadei Rabbanan HaMilta, they know about this, V'Avrei Allah, and they do it anyway. So that's it. So they know the problems of the Dafyomi, and they still do it, even though they've realized that sometimes they don't gain as much out of it. So Amar Rav Nachum Meitzak, Ana Avita V'Kayim B'Yodi. So now, this is interesting. There are two girsot here. Tosfos brings two girsot, whether ani, ana virta, or averta, that I violated it, v'kayam b'yadi, and it worked, meaning that I didn't listen to this advice, and it worked. Tosfos rejects this girsot, and he says, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he be boasting that he's rejected this, and he succeeded, although it comes after the Rova's statement that the Rabbanan violated. The other one is ana avita, I did it, v'kayam b'yadi. Now, Avita, Tosfos says that he did what the Rabbanan said, and it worked for me. You also could read it, Anavita, I did what the Rabbanan do, which is I did the Chavilot, and it still worked for me. So you can read it one of those three ways. So Tosfos says what you're saying, which is that Tosfos says it has to be a positive statement, that Rav Nachum Yitzchak, otherwise why would he be boasting about it? You don't boast about not keeping the Divrei Chachamim. On the other hand, there are other two ways, and you see there was a Girsa that went that way, which is that Rav Nachum Yitzchak said, I did it, Chavilot, and it worked. As a response to Rabba, which Rabba says the Rabbanon don't follow this advice. He says, you're right, they don't follow, but it worked. So Amar Rav Shizvi, Mishmei de Rabba Lozer ben Azariah, Mayde Chtiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk, Lo Yacharoch Rimiya Tzedo? So it says, a deceitful person will not roast his catch. Right? I mean, Lo Yacharoch Charich, it means to roast, to singe. Right? He will not be able to roast his catch. So now there are two interpretations of this. Lo yachroch here is a conjugation. According to the first text, mentioned a conjugation of lo yichye v'lo yarich yamim. Right, that's what yachroch and is a conjugation of orach yamim and chayim. And then it's tzayad haramai. So the tzayad haramai, the person who is mirameh anashim. So what does that mean, mirameh anashim? He's tricking people. Lo yichye v'lo yachmim. A person will not last a long life and not have all these good things when he tricks people. What is he tricking people with? Rashi says, Shemirayim Anashim Larot Kamani Chacham. He wants to show off how much he knows. Lamid Girsol Tarbei, to learn tremendous amounts, quantitatively, Hu Meshakech, Hu Mekatzer Yamav. And then he ends up forgetting everything. So this is a follow-up that we just said before. If you take on too much, he wants to learn tremendous amounts, to say, I covered this, to show off. In the end, he knows nothing because he's able to keep it. And we know about the Torah, Ki Hu Yechayecha, V'Yorech Yamecha. But that's only if you remember it. If he's not remembering it, then it's not Ki Hu Yechayecha, V'Yorech Yamecha. You're not going to extend your lifetime. So a person will not Yechye, and not Yerech Yamim, when he learns Torah in this manner. The other one is Rav Sheshes Amar. Rav Sheshes learns it the other way around. Tzayid Ramai, the one who is Tzayid Ramai, Yachroch, he learns it as a Lashon Tema, a rhetorical question, that he learns it. Tzayid Ramai, Yachroch, how could it be the one who's Tzayid Ramai, Yachroch, lo yichye, v'lo yarech yamim, he won't go on. So how's he learning this? Yishla ofot lachroch, lechol, kol mi shalomid, v'goreis ma'at ma'at, someone who has birds to roast, meaning he's doing one at a time, he has all these birds to roast. Then when he has all that material, and he goes over and over again, it stays with him. And the posuk is bitmiyah, which is one who is Sayyid Ramai, the one who has got all that in his hands, meaning that he's got what he needs, he's gathered together all of the birds that he needs. Then yachroch, he won't live, he won't have a long life. Of course he will, because he's doing it the right way. It's like a person who is a bird catcher. If he breaks the wings of the first one, they all stay with him. If not, they fly away. Now, I don't know if it's just the first one here. It sounds like here, if he breaks the wings of the first one, all the other birds will stay with the first bird once he's captured that first bird. Or, I don't know if it means, which seems to be more along the lines of the Mashal, is that as he catches each bird, he breaks the wings so they can't fly away, which would make sense in the Mashal, which is that you gather your Girsaot piece by piece, and therefore you keep them.
You gain control over them.
Right, very good. You have dominion control over each one at a time, and then you're able to keep all of them. But if you never gain control over it fully, and you keep it in its wing, then it flies away by the time you get the next one there. Now, Vaya, now Gemara is continuing. We were darshaning Perek Aleph, so the Gemara is continuing with darshaning Perek Aleph here. Vaya ke'ich shatul al palgei mayim. It'll be like a sapling that is deeply planted on the waters. Amrei debei Rabbi Nai ke'ich shatul. Should be like a sapling that's planted, but not an eitz natua that is deeply rooted. If you only learn from one rabbi, no siman bracha. You got to be flexible. You got to be able to move around to different rabbim. Some of the Rav Chista, the Rabbonon. Mr. Rav Chista says to the people who are learning by him, Bina deim alechum hilta umistafina. I want to tell you something, but I'm a little embarrassed. I'm not so ready to tell you it. Because you're going to leave me. I'm afraid. I'm worried that you're going to leave me. Bazlitu, and you're going to go. Torah, anybody who learns from one rabbi doesn't see a bracha. Shavkua. So they left him. Right?
Well,
Bazol, kamei the rabba. They went before rabba. Amalho. Hani milei svoro. Aval gimboro. Mirav echad odif. Keichei delal. Liflog lishnei. So this is a very important differentiation. He said, wait, when it comes to differentiating rabbeim or having different rabbeim, that deals with svara. Svara being, again, iun. The idea of Rashi says, lumot charifut v'chidud aleiv. Right, svara, the ability to think, the ability to be medameh milta the milta, the ability to understand. Those items have to be done for multiple rabbeim. Why? Because the perspectives of a Rebbe are different, and the differing perspectives will open your eyes up to differing things. So there it's important to have differing perspectives. When it comes to Gemara, which we're talking about Bikiyut, or the Girsa, then it's important to have one Rebbe so you don't get confused. Because the Rebbeim will teach in a different Lashon or a different way, and then you're going to get confused between the Duvrin Lashonot. Better to have a standard Lashon for one Rebbe, and then have that, you know, gathered and well-founded, and then to get the Iyun from multiple Rebbeim. But if you're learning in the beginning your Girsa from multiple Rebbeim, you're going to converse the Girsa because, again, we're dealing with Torah Shebaal Peh, where the Girsa Oth are not, we're not as well-grounded or founded as our Gemara, where it's a standard, the Girsa, they had, each Rebbe had his way of being Megares, or putting together the Torah Shebaal Peh. So now everybody says, Al Palge Maim, where does it mean Al Palge Maim? Amar Reb Tanchum Bar Chanilai, that's why we changed yesterday. It said Amar Rabbi Chanilai Bar Chanilai, they changed it to Tanchum Bar Chanilai, which is more likely who the person was. The Olam Yishalesh Adam Shnotav, person also divided his days into three parts. Shlish B'Mikra, one third in Tanakh, one third B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, and one third in Gemara. Right here, Shnotav means his lifetime. He should divide his life up. One third Mikra, one third Mishnah, one third Talmud. Umar says, Miyadayish, Kamechayik. Well, if you're going to divide it into thirds, you've got to know how long you're going to live to know how much to dedicate to Torah, Mishnah, Talmud. You can't do this. Kumar and Kedushin, Ki Kamrinan, Biyomei. We're not talking about in his lifetime, we're talking about his days. So here's a machlokas between Rashi and the Tosafot and the Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi says, Biyomei is his week. He should divide his week up into one third Torah, one third Mishnah, and one third Gemara. Divide the week up. You know, 7 days in the week. Tosafot says, you're still faced with the same problem, which is, how do you know you're going to make it through the week? How can you divide it up into thirds? Now look, it's a smaller quantity, so you know most likely people will make it through a number of weeks, so it's not a problem. But Tosos rejects that, and he says, the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it literally means each day. Every day your learning should be divided up into thirds. You should learn a third Mikra, third Mishnah, third Talmud each day, each and every day. And then the Rabbeinu Tam says, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? We don't follow this advice. Says the famous Rabbeinu Tam, says, because we learned Talmud Bavli. We learned Talmud Bavli, Shibbulbal Bakol, it has everything in it. Talmud Bavli has Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara in it. And therefore, by learning the Talmud Bavli, we're able to gain all three of them, Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud, even though the distribution is not necessarily a third, a third, a third. But because we're getting a piece of it, that's why we don't follow this advice of breaking one's day down into thirds. Asher Piryo Yiten Bi'ito. So here's a continuation of the puzzle that this tree that's on these waters will give its fruit in its time. Amarova Impiryo Yiten Bi'ito Valeo Lo Yivo. If he gives its fruit in the right time, then Aleo Lo Yivo, then its leaves will not wither. Right, so now it's talking about, then Rashi explains to us, this is a person, Impiryo Yiten Bi'ito Shigva Yitim the Torah. Right, that is, that person is kovei yitim the Torah, then aleo lo yivol, then his leaves will not dry up. Now the Tosafot says, no, that nirei the Rabbi Chanan ho ra'ah, that when his pirei yitim b'ito, that when you give ho ra'ah at the right time, then aleo lo yivol, then your leaves will not wither up. I mean that you only become Torah when you are b'ito, when you're ready for it, and you're right, ripe to give ho ra'ah, then aleo lo yivol. Vim lav. Right? If not, now Rashi, it's interesting here, then they change. It's not the opposite of what you had before, but im lav, lomeid, valomeid, alehem aktuv mamer, lochein rishayim. That's not true of the rishayim, which is a continuation of the pasuk. Lo yachein rishayim, ki, im, kimotz, asher, tidchof aruach, that there'll be like a shaft that is blown away by the wind. So here, Rashi says it's referring to milim lav, means if he teaches a talmid she'enu hagun, president teaches a person or who's inappropriate to teach, or a talmid who he doesn't think is worthy or proper to be learning Torah, that is what asher piro yitem bito. So if you do it with someone who ripened, or someone who is going to reach the point of fruit and will ripen properly, that's good. But president teaches someone that is not Isher lo yitain bro, then aleo lo yivo. And that person, his leaves will wither. That's said about both the one who learns and teaches such an individual. If you're teaching people where it's inappropriate, or the person who's learning is inappropriate, then aleim lo yivo, and then lochein rishayim, then the rishayim, they'll be classified like the second half or the remainder of the pasuk in Perek Aleph of Tehillim. Amar Rabbi Av, Amar Ravuna, Amar Rav, my dichtiv. What does it mean in Mishlei? This is actually, a lot of the Gemaras have marked here Mishlei Ted. It's really Mishlei Zayin. It's Mishlei Zayin Chavov, which is, Kirabim Chalalim Hipila. Right, many corpses, many wounded she left behind. Zeh Talmid Shlo Higia Lo Ra'ah Umoreh. This is a person who reaches the point of Hora'ah, has not reached the point of Hora'ah, and is giving Psak Halacha. He's paskening when he's not worthy of giving Psak Halacha. So there, Rabim Chalalim Hipila, he leaves behind many corpses, meaning that he's doing something wrong because he is Rabim Chalalim, there are many wounded or corpses, because Hipila, from the word Nefel, A nephel is a baby that comes out before its time, right? A miscarriage. So that's it. The one who's a nephel, who is before its time to give horah, rabim chalalim, leaves behind many corpses. The atzumim kol harugah, and the ones that are killed, atzumim, right? The great are the ones that are killed by them. Zitamid shigia the horah ve'enu moreh. That is someone who reaches the point of psak, veinu mereh, doesn't go out and give psak alocha. I mean that there's a criticism of both. Atzumim here comes from atzam, right? The one who's strong, the one who is able to. Rashi says over here what it means. The one who could come to it. Mit atzmim, machrishim umit apkim. They, right? They hold back. They are silent. And they are quiet. They do not speak up. Those atzumim kol harugot, they're the ones who produce all these harugim, because they don't speak up when they're supposed to be speaking up. So that's the both sides are problematic. The one who gives psak halacha when they're not ro'i to give psak halacha, the one who is ro'i to psak halacha doesn't give it. It's a common occurrence. These are common problem. That those who don't know how to give psak are always out there giving psak halacha, or are ready to give you an answer whenever you want. And those that know are much more reticent to really come forward and say what people need to know. Rad kamo, when is that point? When you reach the level of hara, ad mem shanim. When you're 40 years, now Rashi says over here, mem shanim is mishan olad. From when you're born, literally when you're 40 years old, that's the point in time when you cross over into morei hora. But it's interesting, earlier on, the Rashi, when we said mem shanim, the Gemara earlier spoke about 40 years, and there Rashi said about it, about the 40 years, he said that it was miyom she lamad. From the time that he starts learning, like by his Rebbe. When he starts learning by his Rebbe, he won't get at Sof Tatosha Rebbe, but he won't get there until 40 years. That he says me, Zman Shulamat, from the time that he starts learning with his Rebbe. Over here he's talking about your age, your human age, rather than your learning time with the Rebbe. It seems strange, because it would seem that the two should be correlated over here, which is that you should be only ready for Hora after learning by a Rebbe. But he's saying that there's some sort of maturity, that being 40 years old, there's a certain amount of maturity, and we expect that a person who's learned Torah during that period of time will have the ability to give Hora. Va-rova-ori. Now here there's a machlokas in the girsa, and this machlokas in the girsa will relate to the machlokas in the girsa in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Abaye v'rova, that they were mibeit eli, and therefore they died early. One died at 40, and one died at 60. So there is a machlokas where the girsa is rova or rabba over there. The same, whatever your girsa over there is, in Rosh Hashanah will be your girsa over here. Rashi's girsa over there is Rava. You can see him quoting it over here, so his girsa over here is also Rava. But if you think that the girsa over there is Rabba, then you would have to change the girsa over here to be Rabba as well. Because Rabba dies, or Rava dies at 40. So now, how could he give Psak HaLach? You just said you have to be 40 years old to be a Morei Hora. Rava Ori, Hotam Bishavin. That's in a case when you're unparalleled. When a person's unparalleled in his city, even when he's younger than 40, he's got to stand up. You've got to stand up and give psak. His leaves will not wither. Amarav acha barad amarav. Amarav acha barav amarav. Humnuna amarav. So not only did they change Ava and Ada, they also added in Rav Amnuna here. Shafidu sichat chulim shel tamid chokam tzricha talmud. Even mundane speech of a Talmud Chacham one should focus on, one should listen to. Why? Shenemar, v'aleo lo yibol, v'chol asher yaseh liatzliach. That's the end of the pasuk in Tehillim there. That his leaves will not wither, and everything he pursues, he will succeed at. Everything he does, it will succeed. So what do you say that about a Talmud Chacham? The same thing. If that applies to Torah and the Talmud Chacham, that means anything he says, anything he does, will be mutzlach. Therefore you should pay attention to him, so that you'll learn from him. And learn from there the way they speak. It's written in the Torah, right, doubled in the Navi and tripled into the Ketuvim. Kol osek b'Torah, person who's involved in Torah, nichasav matzlichim lo. His possessions are successful for him. Meaning that the gra doesn't like that girsa, and he says, dirachav. Not nechasav, not his money, not his wealth, but rather his ways are successful. Ketuv b'Torah, what is it in the Torah? Dechtiv, u'shmartem et divrei ha-brit hazot, this week's parsha. V'asitem otam, you should listen to this brit and do them. Why? L'man taskilu et asher kol ha-asun. So you'll be wise, you'll have a mind to know what to do. Because the Torah will teach you, the Torah will guide you what to do. Shanoi b'nevim, dechtiv, lo yamush, tam b'yoshua, lo yamush sefer ha-Torah, zem mipicha. Halacha, Vigita Bo Yomam Valayla, Man Tishmor Lasot, Kechol HaKetuv Bo, in order they should do everything in the Torah, Bo, Ki Az Tatzliach Et Darkecha, Baz Taskil, right, then you'll be successful in your way, and you will be wise, you'll be able to, understand and guide, and know what to do. Mishlash Petuvim Dichtiv, Ki Im B'Torat Hashem Chepzo, U'B'Torato Yege Yomam Valayla, Vayak Yit Shatul Apal Gemayim, Asher Piyo Yitem B'Yitov, Alayo Lo Yivol, V'Chol Asher Yaseh, Yetzliach. The passage that we just brought from the Drasha that Rav made above. Machriz Rabbi Alexandri. Alexandri used to announce in public, Man Ba'ichai, Man Ba'ichai, who wants to live a long life? Who wants a long life? Kanufatu Kuliyama, Lekabe. It's a good salesman. Everybody came running over. Yeah, we want a long life. Come on, tell us what we got to do. Amalei Avlan Chai, give us a long life, give us life. Amalei, it's very easy. Mi Ayish, Archavet Chayim. Oiv Yomim Nerotov, who's that? Netzor, Lishoncha, Meimra. Right, that's right. The person shut. To keep their mouth from speaking evil. If you don't speak Lashon Hara, you have a long life. It's very easy. Shema Yomar Adam Natsarti Lashoni Meira Uvsvatai Midaber Mirma. That I was careful. I don't speak Lashon Hara, and I don't speak any deceit. Elech Ved Gereb Sheina. This is the same thing we had just in the previous Duch. That's why I'll go and sleep. I didn't do the Ra. I'm fine. So now I can just go sleep. Tamal Omar, Sumera, Vasei Tov. This is what you were bringing up before. You gotta leave the Ra, but you also have to say Tov. Ein Tov, Ela Torah. Tov is Torah. Shenemar, Kilek Tov Natati Lachem. Torati Al Tazovu. So Tov is Torah. It's not enough to be Sumera. You also have to be Asei Tov. Okay, now, Higia la Mikipa, we're back to our mission now. When they reach the place of the apse, I think in the bathhouse, where they're gonna put up the DD over there, the after DDs that they're gonna place there, then you have to stop. Amr Rabbi Lozar says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Banas Charo Mutar. If you actually build a kippah, and you do it anyway, you're still allowed to keep your wages from it. Pshita. Of course. Misham Sheyav Darach Chachamimim. It's servicing a Obeid Kochavim. So if it's servicing Obeid Kochavim, it's only a Mishamesh. It's not Obeid Kochavim itself, so why should it be Asur your money? Where it says, U'Misham Sheyav Derech Chavim, Ben the Rebbe Yishmael, Ben the Rebbe Kiva, we'll find later in a Masechta, in an Asurim, Nad Sheyavdu. Then when it comes to something that services the Avodah Zarah, it is only restricted once you worship the Avodah Zarah itself. But until you worship the Avodah Zarah itself, the Mishamesh, this platform, or this axe, where they place the Petzel, that's not Asur. So what happens if he makes the pestle itself? He becomes the one who makes the Aphrodites, and he puts it in there also. When a Jew makes it, it's a sur right away, and therefore it'd be a problem. But the avodah zarah of a goy, since he changes his mind all the time, therefore, until he worships it, it's not got a shame of avodah zarah. So therefore, when you make the pestle for him, it's not avodah zarah yet, because he hasn't bowed to it yet. Until he bows to it, it's not avodah zarah. Therefore, when he pays you for it, it's not schar avodah kochavim. But if you say the one who says that if you make a pestle for a goy, it's avodah zarah right away, even if he hasn't worshipped it, Michael Amar, then you are getting schar avodah zarah. Schar avodah zarah is a sur. Alam Rabba Bar Ula Lonitzukala Bemakush Achron for the final hit. So Avodah Chavim Manka Garimla. What makes it into a Avodah Zarah? Gemar Malacha. The final hit makes it into a Avodah Zarah. Ve'imat Havya Gemar Malacha. When's the point of Gemar Malacha? Makush Achron and the final hit. The Maki Papatish. Makush Achron Lipa Shibaputa. The last hit doesn't have a value of Shavaputa. Alma Kosovar must be that he holds, which is the Skirut mitriyesh lenal the Skirut mitchilat sof. The Skirut applies that when a person works, when a person is a wage earner, he earns the wage over the span of time that he's working. He does not earn the wage all at when he completes it, he gets paid. No. As he works at each partial piece of work that he does, he earns it at that point in time. So therefore, he's earned it all the way along. That last hit is less than a Shavapruta. That's maybe Schar Avodah Chachavim, but the rest is not. So Tosfos says, wait a minute. If it's Schar Avodah Chachavim, then why don't we just say that he has less than a Shavapruta Schar Avodah Chachavim that's mixed up with the rest of his Schar, and it's Asur. Because it's not Patel. Avodah Zarah is not Patel. So now he has a little Schar Avodah Chachavim, and now he doesn't have it. So Tosfos suggests over here that the Goy would pay him for the Pesel even without the Makash Achron. Machash Achron is so small that he would pay him full price for the pesel, whether he does the Machash Achron, whether he doesn't do the Machash Achron. So he'd pay for him either way. So he's mochel on it. Since he's mochel on it, doesn't even have schar bar chachavim. But Tosa says, wait a minute. I have a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, why is it Ben Noach? Right? Ben Noach gets punished ala gezel, even for less than a shavaputa, because he's not mochel. Even on less than a shavaputa, he's not mochel. So how can you say to me over here, he's mochel on less than a shavaputa? So Tosas wants to differentiate. It's important differentiation. He says, Afa bishoi kachavim makpira pachot mi shavaputa be gezel, yikom makom hochel lekak peida kulihai. When he's doing a job for him, when he's doing something for him, then there he's not so makbid. When it's stealing, then he says, I want it all back. He's makbid even less than a shavaputa. So it does have to differentiate in order not to come up with having less than a shavaputa that has a problem of avodah zarah. So this also points out that in many other places we say there's that ain't schivut ela besof. Mishalem besof. So I come over here, while someone's saying, yesh schirot mitzchil ebad sof. So you remember, the badai, kos man shena poel choser. Person doesn't back out of his work. Ain't lo scharo ach le besof. Person doesn't get paid until the end. Ain't lo balabait la mishum bal talin. That when he backs out in the middle, that he has to give him what he's done until this point in time, meaning that there is mitzchilat sof. The true, the underlying way that he earns the money is that mitzchilat sof. Therefore, if he backs out in the middle, he'll get partial payment for the work that he's done until that point in time. But technically, it's really an ain't schirat basof. He only gets paid at the end. Why? What's relevance about that? First of all, Baal Talin. If you thought that he earned it all the way along, that means that every day that he finishes some work, then you would have to pay him right away, otherwise you'd be violating Baal Talin. No, so it must be that Baal Talin only kicks in at the end, meaning that even though he's earning it along the way, it's deferred. Right, it's a deferred payment until the end, meaning that he's earned it, it's accrued. So that's how Tosfos differentiates between the different pisuke halacha that we have. Schirat sof is the way you earn it or accrue it, but the way that you get paid it is in all of basof. When you actually pay out the cash, it's basof. So that has implications for agar natar, for paying, that you're not, if you increase his schar, it's not an issue of paying interest on the money that you owe him, because he's lending you money. You don't have to pay him the basof. And it's also not a problem about talin, because the obligation to pay only comes at the end. Okay, we'll stop over here.